Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Thursday, December 19th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. How is Melody?
I'm doing just fine.
I took you by surprise, Butch. Had to think a minute, didn't you?
Well, you know, I heard this little doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and it's just like, okay.
No, that was, I just had to turn my phone off. I've got to turn it off, and that beep, somebody sent me a text, so I just turned it off. But anyway,
okay,
here I is, and I'm right here with you, and I'm looking forward to the program.
Me too. And gold today, it's
you know, this,
a little
this will
bit
be
easier
last
too.
One for a while.
This is correct. Oh, we have another one.
Until next Thursday. I won't be with you Tuesday.
Next Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, next Thursday, 26th.
Yep. Gold today had a little bit of strength, $4, but it's still holding that 1480 level, 1479.90, close enough to say 1480. Silver was up 6 pennies today at 1715. Platinum was down $2 at 937, and palladium was up 14, 1940. The USDX today was down 0.03 at 97.39. Crude oil was up 37 cents at 61.30. And, of course, the paper markets are shrugging off any impeachment talk, and as they probably should, but it's kind of the same, actually. It's the same kind of reaction that the markets had during the Clinton impeachment, too. So it's kind of interesting. The Dow was up 137 points today at 28,376. The NASDAQ was up 59, 8,887. The S&P was up 14 at 3,205. 10-year yield, 1.91%, and that was down 0.02. European Asian markets were closed. Hey, the euro. I'll let you guess what the euro is. 1.11. Hasn't changed. I don't know why that just amazes me so much, because I look at these every day, and I don't ever remember a time when a currency pretty much stayed in this close trading range as what we're seeing with the euro. Now, what does that mean? I'm really not sure. And perhaps that's the way all currencies should be, you know, if no one is manipulating them and so forth. But we have what emotion is driving the market. Well, you know what? We're at 90, extreme greed. So with those numbers, you're going to have a lot of people out there shopping for Christmas. So a lot of money is being spent. Keep that consumer confidence strong. And, hey, our economy will be fine. So don't have to worry about anything else. We don't have to worry about anything else.
So they'll charge it.
Yeah.
They'll charge and pay for it all year, but that's the way they do it.
We have low unemployment, so I guess that's all that matters, is low unemployment. And but it's what do you got for us, Butch?
Oh, there's so much going on, Melody. I mean, it's unbelievable. We got it. We got to do it. I hate to. We got to mention the impeachment, the fiasco, the show, the smoke and mirrors, whatever you want to call it, the bipartisanship, if you think that's going on there, whatever it may be. But this is just dividing the country more and more and more. Melody, it took, two and a half years to figure out that Russia wasn't involved in the election, right?
Right.
Okay, so how much money do you spend on that? Now, for the last several months, we've been working on impeachment. And I finally got through. Now, it's going to go to the Senate and get kicked out, of course. But it's amazing. The Americans, a lot of them are actually really wrapped up in this, it's just polarizing the country. And that is not good. It is not good.
It isn't good. And we're even more divided, as it has created more a division. You know, the sides are getting stronger. And each side is ramping up their own bases. And so, I mean, this is,
yes,
to me, that signifies exactly where they want everything to go. They want the bases of both parties to be fired up, to be angry, and to take sides. And to me, it's just like, you know, whether it wasn't even the impeachment yesterday, but listening to the debate for 12 hours, are you kidding me? And no one said anything.
I know.
No one said anything. And some of the
comparisons...
Nothing
they hadn't said in the last 3 months.
Yeah, and the comparisons that they said, it's... They themselves are exposing who they are. And, I'm sorry. You know, it's true. You can say they had a vendetta against President Trump from day one. You can say that. But you can also say that President Trump had 2 years. He didn't have to wait until July of this year to try to expose Biden and his kid. Yet they had 2 years, all Republicans, and it was wasted. And I get all these emails and so forth. Oh, just wait until the heads start swinging and they're going to be thrown in jail and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah, and sure, uh-huh.
And what I don't understand, Butch, is I don't agree with... I mean, they're all corrupt.
Yes, they are.
And I hear all the time, it's like, well, they're just after Trump because so-and-so did this. And that's right. But just because so-and-so did that and nobody went after them and nobody tried to expose them, doesn't make it right for somebody else to do it. It doesn't give the other guy a free pass.
No, it doesn't.
Does it?
And no, it doesn't. I was asked today from one of our callers in office today, should Trump been impeached? And I said, what do you think he should or not? He didn't do anything different than any other president in my lifetime. It was just pushed more on him. I mean, Obama did the same thing. Clinton did the same thing. Of course, Clinton's impeached.
Yeah, but it was still wrong.
It was. But every one of them's done it. So while we're picking on him, I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but why him all of a sudden?
I get that. But hey, it... Then you'd have to say the other side, the Republicans, never did their job.
Well, that's very true. But you see, this goes back to the next president there. It does the same thing. Will they go after him too, or let it slide like they did with Obama? Obama did a lot worse than that. I'm not a trumpeter at all. Believe me, I'm not. But Obama did a lot worse than that, and he's a hero.
I agree. But, I mean, how long do we allow everybody getting free passes? And I'm not saying, and I'm not really putting a name on anyone. I'm just saying when we're in a situation like we are in the world today, and it's just not this country, it's worldwide, they're all corrupt. So we just allow everyone to, you know, we pick our sides and we fight back. But
well,
are we fighting for something that's right or wrong?
That,
what are
you
we
know,
fighting
I,
for?
I would like to see a level playing field is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Everyone.
Well, I would
be
too.
Held, be,
but we don't have it. So
no,
we just
don't.
Let ours pass?
No, well, no, that, no, you don't do that. That's, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying they did the right thing. But it's just a remark to me that the other side gets by with it, and we don't. It's like today in society, a Christian is attacked for saying what he believes, but a pervert can say what they believe, and they're called heroes.
Yeah,
so it doesn't make it right. It's just what it is. You know, it is what it is. And we just want to get used to the idea because it's not going to change. I mean, I'm looking here in the article that Mitch McConnell threatens to cancel Donald Trump's Senate trial if scared Nancy Pelosi does not hand over slapdash articles of impeachment. A speaker slams him as a rogue leader and president gloats he will be cleared by default. This goes on and on. So whether you, no matter which side you're on, both sides should be held accountable, but it isn't going to happen that way.
It's not going to happen that way.
It's not going to happen at all. But, you know, this was Nancy Pelosi forced the Trump impeachment across the finish line Wednesday. So now the process moves to U.S. Senate trial, but Pelosi said she's in no hurry. Of course not. She blasted Senate leader Mitch McConnell for saying he's not an impartial juror and declared she won't hand him the baton without a pledge of fairness. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is pushing for witness subpoenas the Republicans don't want to agree to. Impeachment trial can't start until Pelosi and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy choose managers to carry the House case to the Senate. McConnell, Sam Pelosi, and Floor Speech warned the Senate's more patient pace will have a calming influence over after slapdash impeachment. So it goes on and on and on. What did they just say? They said nothing, like a bunch of old children slapping back and forth. Well, you said that, I said that, so I'll do this, you do that. It's insane.
It is.
It is insane. And it's dividing the country more than... We're on the verge, I'm not making this up, we're on the verge of civil war in Virginia right now. And I'm not making it up. I have proof on my website in my hands to prove that. Right now, on top of the gun control that's been trying to be passed in Virginia, that's leading to Tazewell County, Virginia, calling out its own militia. Tazewell County is calling forth a legal militia to fight against the governor that said he would call out the National Guard if the law is passed. It's happening there. Culpeper County sheriff, I just talked to his office yesterday. He's going to call out at least 1,000 men if he has to deputize them to stand against the governor's call for gun control. Now this is already started in Kentucky, Georgia, and North Carolina. Right now as we speak. This is a planned move by somebody from somewhere to cause chaos in this country, Melody, and it's that they listed this program and known it's a financial program are ignoring this to their own peril. Like, you can't do a thing about it. But if they don't prepare themselves right now financially, when all this breaks loose, and it's going to, I don't know what's going to be next week, next month, or next year, but it's going to break loose. When it does, it's going to affect us financially, people. If we go to war, literal war in the States, don't you think that'll upset the economy a little bit? Don't you think I'd do something to prepare for that? Now, I'm not just precious metals, food, water filters, things to prepare yourself, because this is going to light, it's going to ignite. Where there's this much smoke, there's going to be a fire. And it's coming. Now, Melody, I don't know how to say that. This is scary. I don't want to fight. I don't want to go to war.
Well.
But we have to do it, you know.
Well.
I don't want to.
Well, that's... My point is, this is all a bunch of noise that's going on out there. And there are far worse things going on than this impeachment. And I would really love to see the Republicans fight back. But they're fighting back in a manner that of children. I'm so sick and tired of people calling names, and it's just like, really? And I just, it's not the way to fight.
No, it's
maybe
not.
It worked
it's not between
in the past.
Adults anyway.
Maybe it's worked in the past. But you know, it's true. All we hear all the time is no one's above the law. Well, look how many things these Democrats have done that's illegal. And you're right.
Yep.
And it's. But what have the Republicans done? They've done nothing.
They didn't do anything. They had a chance to do a lot for two whole years and did nothing.
Investigations?
Zip.
What investigations?
Nada.
Yeah. What investigations did they open? Except for the ones that we hear
exactly
underground.
Right.
You know, like, oh well, yeah. They've thrown in jail 150. Really? So what have they done?
I totally
nothing.
Agree.
Nothing.
You're right. They've done nothing.
So,
they had
done
a
nothing.
Chance and blew it. But the same thing happened under Newt Gingrich. I remember back in the 90s, where we were going to clean the House and we were going to get the Democrats out. And
he was just as corrupt as all of them.
Nothing changed in either.
He was just as crazy. He got kicked out.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. So. Lindsey Graham, do you think he's changed? I'll tell you what, it looks like he's losing a lot of weight. He didn't look real healthy the last time I saw him. Pictures, he looked a little worn out. But
well,
do you think they really,
again, the
do,
chaos
do you really
is
think they changed their spots?
No, they never have. They never have. And the chaos is spreading beyond the impeachment, like I said, into the gun control issue now, big time. And on beyond that in other areas, too. And, Melody, eventually, inevitably, this is going to affect the finances of this country. Right now, we think everything's smooth and people are paying no attention, nothing. But if we would happen to have shots fired between state citizens and the National Guard or whatever, what would that mean to everything out there?
I don't know. But
can you imagine? Think about that a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be a little bit scary if anybody has any common sense. I mean, if somebody gets killed in this battle, it's going to heat up overnight like nobody's going to believe. And who knows who's going to instigate the first shot.
Well, I hope cooler heads prevail, and, you know, because I'm not...
I do, too.
You know, and that's why I don't even like to, because there's heads out there that, I mean, there's a lot of crazies out there that, you know, are just looking for the fight, and, you know, they just want to do it, and I don't want to encourage any of them.
A lot of them in office.
That's why we don't.
A lot of them in office. That's a problem.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And so I don't even like to go down that road program, but... it's something we need to think about. There will be social unrest. How that unfolds, how it, I don't know. But it is a scary time in which we live. And the noise that we see, and, you know, I did my interview last night, my conversation with James Corbett, and, you know, he's made some very good points. You know, this impeachment's not going to change anything, whether no matter what the outcome is, whether it's good or bad or whatever, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change about all the things that's happening around the world. We've become so focused on this fight instead of what's really happening. And so, you know, ladies and gentlemen, people get upset with me because they think that, you know, we got to give President Trump a chance, and I got to do this. And it's not about giving him a chance. It's about seeing what's really happening.
He's had 3 years. He's had 3 years. He had 2 years without any opposition.
But this is so much bigger than President Trump.
Yes, it is. It truly is.
This is so much bigger. And, you know, it just amazes me. Some of the kindest people that I know are becoming angry and mad.
Yeah.
Without discussion.
That too is part of the plan.
You can't discuss things. And that's what's even more frightening. You can't.
It causes division. It causes division.
Yeah.
You bring up this topic, it causes division. And it's happening between families. Yeah, so there you go. But we'll get back on something on the stock market in a second. We're getting ready to go to break here. But I want this article: the stock market has become a private club for the elite. Very well written article here I want to share, because that's what the stock market has become, a private club for the elite.
It always was. From day one, it was a private club. But we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I just want to put this in there, and then we'll move right along. Butch, well, you know Mark Meadows. He's now the 21st Republican to retire from the House.
Oh.
So, and I'm sure he's going to be helping either, well, either he's going to become part of the administration or help President Trump for the election, I would think. But it's interesting. He hinted that he might soon take a job working for the president, although it's still unclear what it might be. And so it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And he said 20, what, 126? He said 21st.
21st Republican to retire from the House.
That's a big chunk of him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's a big chunk of them. It really is. Well, time will tell. I don't know, Melody. Things are kind of in turmoil, so I don't know for sure which way we're going, but hang on. It could be an interesting ride. But yeah, you know, going back to this article, the stock market has become a private club for the elite. And you said it always was, and you're right. It always was. I think it's just gotten worse. A recent Peter G. Peterson Foundation poll was reported by the Financial Times revealed a statistic that we have suspected for quite some time. Nearly two-thirds of Americans say that this year's record-setting Wall Street rally has had little or no impact on their personal finances, calling into question whether one of the strongest bull markets in a decade will boost Donald Trump's re-election chances. A poll of likely voters for the Financial Times and the Peter G. Peterson Foundation found 61% of Americans said stock market movements had little or no effect on their financial well-being. 39% said stock market performance had a very strong or somewhat strong impact. The survey suggests that most Americans are not aware of market movements, with just 40% of respondents correctly saying the stock market has increased in the value in 2019. 42% of the likely voters said the market was all about the same levels as the start of the year, while 18% believed that it had decreased. So the massive amount of people are not paying attention to the stock market anyway. I mean, they just said they didn't know what was up, down, in between. They had no idea. And it's right. 61% of people said the stock market has nothing to do with their finances. It doesn't mind that I can tell, not that I know of. I have no retirement in it. I have nothing there to watch after. So I'm not alone, apparently, Melody. So apparently this is it could be a voting plus or minus for Trump, because the stock market just doesn't affect most people.
Well, I mean, most, you know, the Dow is a big number that everybody follows. Most of them are in, you know, either the NASDAQ or the S&P. And when you only have 30 shares in the Dow, it's, you know, it's pretty easy to manipulate. And, you know, if they don't do well, they'll just pull them out and put somebody else in there to, you know, to keep them going strong. But I don't know. It was always the elite game. You know, they used to play it amongst each other. It was a toy. It was something to keep them occupied and so forth. And then they figured out how they could rape the American, or rape the investors from their monies and so forth, and they became very powerful. And it really is amazing, as much inside trading that goes on. This morning I was watching CNBC, Butch, and the one analyst, Becky Quick, they're talking about, and she says, well, you know, I have all my money in stocks. I don't own any treasuries. And I'm thinking, these are analysts. They're supposed to be, you know. And they're telling everybody what she owns.
I don't know.
That's inside trading. It might not have been a specific stock, but you have people who watch that, and you know, going along the way, if you watch it enough, I'm sure you could figure out which one she owns. And you know, just like they says when CNBC first opened up, and you had Maria Bartiromo, you know, she was the golden girl of the NASDAQ. And she did her reports every morning. And Jim Cramer came out and says, well, you know, she was accused of inside trading, but they says all you had to do was listen to her, and we knew which stocks she was recommending and which one she was going to talk about, so then we'd go make our bets. And it's like, there's no shame anymore.
No, there's not. No, there's not.
It's they brag about it.
We've lost something in a country melody. I don't know what word do you even use to say what it'd be. Conscience, perhaps, is part of it. But it seems like I don't know how to explain it. Conscience, consideration, couth. We lost it all. Seems like. And people we'll say the ones that are the notable people out there don't even know how to conduct yourself in public really anymore. When you have president, go ahead.
You don't make lots of money being doing the right thing all the time.
Apparently not.
And there is no, and there always was. There was a right and a wrong. There was consequences if you did the wrong. And there isn't anymore.
You did the right thing. You respected the right thing, and you respected by not by just the leaders, but by the country. To do the right
thing. There's no accountability anymore.
No, there's really not.
You know, we've been taught to believe that, you know, it's okay to do the wrong. It's, anyway.
Well, move on to something here, too. I think this article is very well written. It's skyrocketing cost will pop all the bubbles. We've used a simple trick to keep the status quo from imploding for the past 11 years. Borrow whatever it takes to keep paying the skyrocketing costs for housing, health care, college, child care, government, permanent wars, and so on. The trick has worked because central banks pushed interest rates to zero, lowering the cost of borrowing more at cost continues spiraling higher. But that trick has been used up. The next step, negative interest rates, has failed to spark the growth required to pay for insanely overpriced housing, health care, college, child care, government, etc. We reached the end of the line on lowering interest rates as a way of borrowing more to keep our heads above water. We reached the point where households and enterprises can't even afford their principal payments, i.e. no interest at all. How are banks supposed to make money at zero interest rates? By charging, now this is true, I know this from personal experience, by charging outrageous overdraft fees and offering marginally qualified borrowers sky-high credit cards and getting in on a federally guaranteed mortgage student loan racket, that's how. And Melody, I had a check bounced on me a couple months ago. The check was written to me now and it bounced. My bank charged me $15 for the bounced check.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't overdraw any accounts. You know, the money wasn't in deposit yet. I mean it wasn't even the account had money in it, so it wasn't like I overdrawed something. But they charged me because somebody else bounced a check.
Yes, and then they charged them also.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they're making
because
the money.
Because they know they're not going to. If the person is bouncing a check, they know they're not going to get their fee from them, so they have to charge you.
Yeah, but isn't it amazing that I get blamed for a bounced check from somebody else? I mean, it's really insane. And the banks are charging lower interest rates on everything, from autos to houses, but they're making it back on things like, hey, let's charge that dude because somebody bounced a check on him. Yeah. That's a double whammy on me. And I asked the bank about that, and they said, that's the cost of doing, that's what they said, that's the cost of doing banking. That's what they said to me. So it cost me to be a customer. Let that sink in a minute. So, I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
You know? We all sit back and we just do what, you know. As a little individual, you can't fight back. You can't move to another bank.
No, they
same
all thing
do
or
the same thing. At one point in time, you used to be able to move to, you know, pull your money and, well, I'm going to make a statement with this bank. I don't like what they're doing, so I'm going to pull my money and go someplace. We can't do that anymore because they all do the same thing.
So this, when I was told that, I really thought, well, it's a mistake. They'll fix it. It wasn't a mistake. So that's amazing. I got in trouble and I didn't do anything wrong that time. That's by par for the course, though. But anyway. We'll move on. I don't know what to say, but that article is so right on. They're making their money by charging outlandish fees for things like bouncing checks and charging a guy that bounced on that didn't even write the check, charging him to cover it or whatever. I don't get what the charge is for. I ask his question, maybe answer, but they couldn't answer it. What was the charge for? Why would they charge me $15 for a check that wasn't even what was the charge for? All they could tell me was that's bank policy, but what was the charge for? What do you think the reasoning was that they would charge me $15 for a bounced check, and I didn't write the check? You get any answer for that?
Because we can.
That's about what they said. Bank policy. That's about what they said. That's exactly right. And this article I thought was really good. American taxpayers continue funding border walls, but not here, in the Middle East. Yeah, folks, really. American taxpayers are once again being forced to subsidize border security measures in the Middle East as part of the latest government spending bill, one they're going to sign here just any time now. While construction for barriers at the United States-Mexico border receives explicitly less than $1.4 billion in federal funds for fiscal year 2020, foreign countries are again sweeping up billions more in U.S. taxpayer money to strengthen their borders. Oh, hooray, hooray. The spending bill, which is set to pass the Senate, provides Jordan with $7.3 billion to be used to help the country enhance the ability of armed forces to increase or sustain security along its borders. An additional $500 million is allocated to help security along Jordan's borders. Another $1.2 billion is available until September 2021 to enhance the border security of nations like Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, and Tunisia. So we're spending our money, to increase border security in Tunisia, Egypt, Lebanon, and Jordan, and nothing and hardly anything here to close our own borders. What's wrong with that picture, Melody?
Do I really have to explain it?
I mean, this is insane.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, and the taxpayers, most of them, I didn't know this. I didn't know until I read the article this was going on. But then if you do know it, what do you do? You know, I mean, how do you protest it? What do you do? You write your senators and congressmen? When last time they pay attention to you?
Well, you can't stop doing it.
No, you can't. But the problem is,
because we do know if enough people do get on their case, a lot of them will not go along with certain things, you know. But whether it makes a difference or not, most likely not, or we wouldn't be in the positions that we're in. But
I would think that's definitely right. And I could get into more things than that, but we won't because I don't want to take time up on it. But in the NSA, I thought this was outlandish. Allowed to unmask U.S. citizens without surveillance warrant. The U.S. Court of Appeals ruled on Wednesday that the U.S. government may collect information about a U.S. citizen without first obtaining a surveillance warrant as long as this was done so inadvertently while legally monitoring a non-national abroad. Now, one more time. It's legal to obtain information on a U.S. citizen as long as it's done inadvertently while legally monitoring a non-national abroad. Did you catch that?
I did.
You mean they accidentally got my information while he's checking on Bozo in Libya?
That doesn't open the door, does it?
That is amazing.
But things are changing. Things are getting better, right?
Oh, yes. I tell you what, I look at this and I know I should. I don't know. What can you say? I mean, how in the world can That's such an ignorant, stupid statement. But they said it, and they're going to do it. Oh, well. I don't know what to say, Melody. You read these things, and you laugh because they're so ridiculous. But they're sad because it's happening.
Yeah.
You know? It's just unbelievable. And I'm sent back. They can do it. And long as it's done inadvertently, while they're checking somebody else, a non-national abroad. How is my name linked to Joe Blow in Britain?
Well, you know, it reminds me a lot after 9/11. And, you know, when all of a sudden... And then that's, you know, and all these searches and everything, they just have to say, well, we think they're terrorists or associated and so forth. And they get whatever they need. And it's very much the same thing. You know, we'll just open that door and, you know, all we have to do is this, say they're connected to someone or their name came up, and all of a sudden it's pretty easy to connect names. I mean, it's just a couple of computer key switches and so forth, and it's...
Oh, Melody, this is so much fun. I'm telling you, this this insanity keeps on growing. And I guess we either laugh or cry. It isn't funny, but, you know, it just is what it is. That's all.
It is what it is. Anymore, it is.
And the world is, the whole world, not just here, it's all over the world now. Yeah. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that then the last days will be unrest among the peoples. The whole world will be unrest among the peoples. You know, different situations all over the world. And boy, we're seeing that. And we'll get that more than that in a minute, too. But we're seeing that in France. We're seeing it in England. We're seeing it everywhere. I mean, unrest among the people. And it's getting to the point now that's actually really leading to some serious problems in a lot of different places, including here. But this article says Russia's top general warns World War III is coming in a chilling prediction. Now, folks, I'm not making this up. This is for real stuff. Vladimir Putin's top commander, Valery Gerasimov, has said he believes the West are preparing for a large-scale military conflict and renewed NATO buildup in Europe. A top general has warned that a big war is coming, and a chilling prediction amid ongoing tension with NATO. The chief of Vladimir Putin's general staff has said that he believes the West is preparing for a large-scale war. He's speaking at a senior briefing for the military, saying that the West has assigned adversary status to Russia. And the general pointed out NATO summit in London wanted a faster deployment to the eastern flank. So now Russia is sending more troops to the eastern flank. They're building up along the borders to counteract what America is doing. But both regularly excuse the other aggression over the buildup, and General Gerasimov warned this could accidentally spiral into a conflict with Russia and NATO, World War III. That isn't a good place to thought either, is it?
Mm-mm. No.
You know, I mean, well, we've been building up on the Russian border now for quite a while in different nations, and Ukraine's one of them, so... Russia's starting to pay attention to this. I don't know, Melody. If they're putting troops on our border, would we be paying attention too?
You think. But what I do think is we're heading into a break right now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Cedar with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, your survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What else you got for us?
Well, I'm going to say this. It's too bad the folks can't hear a conversation during the break. We cover some good stuff during the break, too.
Between
you and Todd and myself, we cover good stuff. And breaks aren't long enough for us to finish our discussions. So, anyway, let's start skipping the breaks and just play clear through. Let Todd join us. But you know, it is amazing. As you were saying, during the break, I'll share very quickly. You know, why didn't Trump go after the other side when he could, and why is he not doing it right now? And you said it. He's going to use this impeachment thing to bolster his popularity, and he is doing it, and it's working. The people under him. Yeah, it's working. It is. It truly is. But anyway, this is interesting. The Brexit Party leader in Britain, of course, Nigel Farage, celebrated the results of the UK election in the European Parliament, saying they were proof faceless EU bureaucrats are being rejected and that the revolt is spreading. Now, notice that word, revolt is spreading. By standing down Brexit Party candidates in close fight seats between the Conservative Party, the Labour Party, Farage was instrumental in delivering a large majority which will allow Boris Johnson's Conservatives to finally deliver Brexit on January 31st. That's just a month away about. Farage returned to the European Parliament today to celebrate the beginning of the end of the EU. Now, folks, this is what he's saying. Maggie, what was her name? The Prime Minister, Reagan was in office.
Thatcher.
Yeah. She said this would happen. She predicted this would happen. But anyway, after 3.5 years of deception, we will be leaving this prison of nations at the end of January, said Farage. We're going to become independent, self-governing nation, and you can delude yourselves inside this cathedral that all is well, but it isn't. People do not want to be run and governed by faceless bureaucrats. You're being rejected. The Brexit Party leader then highlighted how the anti-EU revolt is spreading across the continent, as opinion polls show a majority of Poles believe they will be better off by leaving the European Union. The majority of Poles, that's been, I assume that's Poland because it's spelled in the capital. Brexit is the beginning of the end of the project. We are giving leadership to Europe of sovereign states working together, being friends together, but not being run by the gang down at the middle there. So that's pretty strong language, and they were given the go ahead by the election, were they not?
Yes.
I mean, the people voted to leave 4 years ago, is that right?
It's been about that long.
And it took them this long to get something done. I say good for them. But they said by January 31st, that's a little over a month away. That's going to be a fast cut. They've been trying to do this and find agreements how to do it for 2 or 3 years, and nothing's happened. So we'll see. But if they leave the EU, say Germany follows, whatever, and they will. If Britain leaves, they'll leave also. And Germany's the backbone of the whole thing financially. The EU is going to fall apart. What do you think, Melody, the other side may do to quell this dissension?
Well, the thing of it is, I mean, Italy is back in the news again. I mean, they're falling apart, and I don't know if, you know, if they continue to rescue Italy like they did Greece, and you know, they might remain and keep. You know, then maybe the European Union won't fall apart, but eventually it's going to, but maybe not in the near term. So, you know, we've seen the euro holding at 111. I talked about it earlier, and it's interesting to see that. You know, there was bets on the euro, you know, going kaput years and years ago, and I didn't think it would, but I don't know. I mean, England never used the euro, so we'll just have to see how it plays out.
That's all we can do. But this goes down. Let's go to France. This
okay.
is getting hot over there
when
because of the
leaving?
Tensions.
When are we leaving?
Let's give her time to watch the Eiffel Tower light up. But anyway. Angry French pensioners cut power. Now, this is, folks, to central bank. Hint at more to come. This is not unrest just in America. This is worldwide. And, Melanie, what do nations a lot of times do to get the people back inside the box, so to speak, and to boost the economy? What's one thing they can do, and I've done it many times?
Snip the power.
Go to war. Go to war. Go to war. To get the economy out of the doldrums, we went to war in World War II. That's a fact. People study it for themselves. This is nothing new. When the people start getting restless and they want to reunite them under a common cause and get them scared back under the thumb of the politicians, they go to war. People become afraid and they unify. Well, we got to take those bums out. We get those krauts. We get those kooks. Well, I mean, those gooks. Well, I mean, this is for real stuff. So when they should become this restless, the answer to fix it could be war. That's just my opinion, so move on. France's trade unions on Wednesday defended a series of illegal power cuts to 150,000 homes, thousands of companies, and the Bank of France in an effort to force the Macron government to squash its wide-ranging pension reform, according to Reuters. The power cuts, illegal under French law, deepen a sense of chaos in the second week of nationwide strikes that have crippled transport, shut down schools, and brought more than a half million people into the street against President Emmanuel Macron's reform. Asked on French radio whether the power cuts weren't a step too far, Philippe Martinez, the head of the hardline CGT union, said the cuts were necessary to force Macron back down. I understand these workers' anger, the mustache union leader said. These are targeted cuts. You'll understand that spitting on the public service can make some of us angry. Following a meeting with government officials, he hinted at further cuts, saying we may amplify these kinds of methods. Folks, this could lead to problems in France big time. French President Emmanuel Macron slammed the pensioners in the strongest of terms during a cabinet meeting, according to a government spokeswoman. However, his office acknowledged that they were open to improvements to the reform package and ahead of another day of negotiations between the prime minister and union leaders. Macron wants to turn the myriad of French pension systems into a single points-based one that would force staff at state-owned firms such as Railway SNCF or Utility EDF to enjoy more generous pension plans than private sector workers to work longer. SNCF train drivers currently can retire at just over 50, for instance, against a 62 for those in the private sector. That means taxpayers have to plug the SNCF pensions deficit to the tune of 3 billion euros every year. I can see where this is a little bit unfair. Why should government workers get retired at 50 and everybody else have to work 62? And why should they get more benefits than those who worked another 12 years? Can you see how the flames are getting hotter, Melody? Can you see how this would stir more trouble?
Well, sure, and just wait until they begin making more cuts here. Wait till they are going to hit Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security.
They are.
And wait and let's see what happens then. It's not going to be people on fixed income that have a problem under collecting Social Security after they worked and so forth. It's going to be those that, you know, didn't work for it.
Public employees deserve no better pension than a private mm-hmm. sector employee. They don't deserve any. As a matter of fact, the public employees who demand pay raises at taxpayers' expenses is totally wrong. Totally wrong. It shouldn't work that way, because private employees can't just say, "Well, I want a raise. I'm gonna go on strike to the public workers. Pay me more money." It doesn't work that way. But this is what's happening in this country. You mentioned Italy. Italian bonds tumble and fears another government collapse is imminent. Now, folks, this is all over the world. For years, reformers have been pushing for changes to the Italian government structure that would, among other changes, reduce the number of seats held by lawmakers. Back in October, Giuseppe Conte's coalition government voted in favor of a plan to reduce the number of lower House members from 630 to 400, the number of senators from 315 to 200. Throughout modern political history, examples of legislative bodies voluntarily accepting reforms that would knowingly curtail the powers and privileges of its members are few and far between, and Italy is no exception. Now, that's pretty well put. I mean, can you imagine if we decide we're going to cut back on the members of the Congress and the House and cut their pay? Can you imagine? Boy, that would draw a lot of favoritism for them, wouldn't it? But not long after
the swamp.
Oh, that would drain the swamp fast. Let's pay them the average income. Not long after the vote, a group of mostly opposition members tried to crush the government and hold a new snap election to save their seats. I mean, what other choice did they have? They're politicians. Do you really expect them to go out and get a job? Hey, man, very well put. Of course not. So the group of lawmakers filed a petition and successfully challenged a reform that would have rendered them redundant, forcing the government to hold a referendum vote if it wants to follow through. So this article hit it right between the eyes. They expect the politician to go out and get a real job. No! It ain't going to happen, folks. Look at Bernie Sanders. He's never had a job in his life. That's a fact. That's not just a statement. Look it up for yourself. Bernie Sanders never had a job in his life. Ever. He'd been a politician. And sponged off other people to become a politician. Look it up for yourself. And he wants to be president. And he wants to give everybody a freebie. Oh, my Melody. This is absurd. This is absurd. You know, I mean, I'm laughing, and it ain't funny. I don't say laugh or cry. I mean, if you get elected to Congress for one term, and you don't make it the next time, or you retire, you resign, you still get full pay and benefits all your life.
Yeah.
Now, if I go to work for a year, can I get the same thing? Full paying benefits the rest of my life?
Look.
I mean, this is absurd. This is totally unfair. And the American people have tolerated it. We've done it. We let it happen. You can't blame the politicians. You can't blame them. You can't blame a child for eating chocolate cake all the time if you don't make them stop. It's our fault. They're supposed to work for us, not us for them. Something's flipped there, hasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, if they, you know, again, we talk about why can't this administration do anything? I mean, why wouldn't they attempt to do term limits?
Oh, yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Just start something. Well, they're too busy because they're always fighting. I don't buy that. I don't buy that argument.
We've seen how many times in our lifetime they went from the Republicans going to take it over and clean the House, and they were given the chance. Then Democrats come back in and do the same thing.
They didn't do anything.
No, they're not. So it's the same thing each time. No matter who's in control, it leads down the same road to further tyranny. I don't care who's in control, Republicans or Democrats. Both of them lead to tyranny. They have. My lifetime, I'm 71 years old, so I'm not a rookie. This ain't my first rodeo, folks. I've seen this happen over a long, long period of time. Maybe there's some in there who maybe will slow it down slightly, but it's never, ever ceased to be. And never, ever, ever have we paid the debt off in my lifetime. Never. It's increased in each administration to the point that it can't be paid now. So who are we kidding? We're kidding ourselves. If we think that the next election is going to fix anything, I'd like to sell you some oceanfront property in Arizona I own. I mean, people, we got to quit thinking this way and look at the situation and the real problem. It's not political. It's that the political situation is part of the problem, but the root of the problem is not political. It's us. How's that, Melody? Is that pretty clear?
Very much so. And the thing of it is, we can look at our problems and we can still hope that there's changes and we can still support a president. But we just have to look at our situation, and not everything is rosy. And no. So we can do two things. Just because I talk about, you know, that I don't believe this administration is any different than any other one, that doesn't mean there isn't a little bit of hope and you know, to where I can't support them in certain things. But that's this is where we've come, that a lot of folks just can't do that anymore. I don't know, Butch. I wish everything would go away. I wish
too,
everything
but,
would
yeah.
remain the same. But in
yeah,
order for things to remain the same, that means, well, that's one thing we know that doesn't happen. Things don't remain the same.
No, you know, either things evolve and grow, or they devolve and deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. And now we have Joe Biden, who says he wants Christians on tier list for opposing LGBTQ agenda. And he said that. I'm not making up. This article right in front of me here. He said, well, you know, he said we can't, he wants Christians put on tier list if they're going to stand against LGBTQ. And it's coming to that point where this is going to happen. So, folks, this again, I'm just saying this to let you know, this is the way the country's heading. It's your choice what you can do with it.
And this program is heading out of time. And you'll be back tomorrow. We have James Corbett for my conversation tomorrow. So make sure you tune in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. You're listening to Financial Survival. I want you to be safe out there. Good night, and God bless. In my dreams.